Today is National First Responders Appreciation Day. In Wisconsin, First Responders of the Year were recognized at the state capitol this month.
99 first responders, one for each state assembly district, were honored for their courage and service. Today we meet two of them.
Caleb Lucht is a lieutenant firefighter for Lake Country Fire and Rescue in Delafield. Caleb was recognized for rescuing a woman and her dog from the second story of a burning building. Lieutenant Lucht, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Take us back to this emergency. About 11 o'clock at night, calls come in that a Delafield apartment complex is on fire. You get the call. Then what happened?
So just a little backstory. I was in the city of Delafield. I was on our ladder truck. We were responding with a crew of five. And battalion chief was first on scene, as well as police, gave a really good description as far as what's on fire. It was an eight-family apartment building. We've been there before and knew the layout pretty well. The crew that I was with entailed a driver, pumps the rig, but it wasn't my regularly assigned driver. We have something called a trade. So they switched shifts, so it was a different driver that day. And then I had a more seasoned firefighter with me who ended up doing an amazing job. And then also I had two younger firefighters, one with his first month on the job, and the other one had 12 hours on the job. As far as a firefighter. So a lot of youth, but also young and willing to work. So responded to the fire, had a good layout, or idea of what the layout was. Again, descriptions by dispatch as well as police department, and then also our first in battalion chief basically said that fire was blowing out of the first floor patio.
First floor apartment totally engulfed in flames. Then you learn on your radio someone is inside who needs rescuing on the second floor. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So something that we ended up doing at just with my background learned to do is splitting our crews. And because we had a crew of five, we were able to do so while also still being safe and having accountability of each other. So we got a good knock on the fire initially, trying to make make a push. Sounds a little crazy if you're not within the first responder world. But yeah, you're just going after the heat and trying to knock it down as fast as you can. At that time, I heard it on the radio. So I actually grabbed a member who had a month on the job and realized that I had a younger member with me as the boss. I want to keep the youngest person with me just, again, for that safety aspect. So I kind of told him, hey, stay with the hose line. Jen's new, the senior firefighter, the one running the nozzle, firefighter Jens, he knew exactly what to do, and he was after it and kept accountability with that other member. And myself and the youngest guy with 12 hours, I pulled him with me, and we were going upstairs. Right above the fire. So.
You find a woman and her dog, from what I understand. What was that like when you entered this apartment?
The stairwell was fully and filled with smoke. So we knew that was not an exit point. She did a nice job locking her doors, closing her doors, her bedroom door as well. So there was a lot of protection between the stairwell and her apartment. But knew that we had to go outside the window. Funny interaction was she really wanted her dog to go first.
And this was like a lab, right?
Yeah. It was a lab. And as a pet owner myself, I get it, but just not how things work. So gave a good chuckle. And again, a lot of other members on scene did an excellent job setting up a ladder. So we already had a ladder close by and she went out the window. And then, followed with her dog.
You hand the dog to another firefighter on the ladder. What was that like?
I don't know. I guess you really don't think of personal things when you're not doing your job. It's a more professional aspect. I was looking for the next thing and right away going on to search to make sure the rest of the building was clear.
You kept the building from coming down, you and your crew. How did you do that?
In a firefighting, there's basically priorities, right? There's simplistically, it's either take the hazard from the victim or the victim from the hazard. That's either putting water on the fire, which take away the hazard, or you remove the victim and now you took them away from the fire. So we did those two operations of suppression as well as the rescue. And then when we exited, because we were had to change out our bottles, the fire extended up into the eaves of the apartment complex. And, you know, buildings are meant to ventilate and breathe and get rid of moisture. And so once it gets up in the eaves, it's usually going to lose a building. So right away, we went right to work. And what we do is we essentially ladder the roof and cut a hole in the roof and make it a chimney. That way it can self-ventilate, and just knowing fire behavior, it wants to go up, right? Smoke and heat rise. And so as a crew of five members performing that task, not just one of the tasks, but all three of the primary objectives of the fire is incredible, and it's a testament to their work.
We are speaking with Caleb Lucht, Lieutenant Firefighter for Lake Country Fire and Rescue in Delafield. Now we turn to another award-winning first responder. Julie Powell is an officer with the Antigo Police Department and a board member of the Wisconsin Crisis Negotiators Association. Officer Powell, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You helped to save children by negotiating a violent hostage situation. Can you take us through what happened that day?
Sure. So it was June of 2023. The initial call came in at around 8:48 p.m. When officers arrived on scene. They quickly established that they had a domestic violence situation. They were able to make contact with the female and quickly identify that her children were still left in the house with a violent individual, which was her boyfriend at the time. When officers made the initial approach to make contact with him, he quickly said, leave me alone. I have high powered rifles. And he made threats quickly with that. So officers pulled back and they called in extra help, which would be our special response team. So we were deployed to assist quickly with that.
Wow. How did you build trust and rapport with a hostage taker very quickly? What is that like?
It was a high stress, high tense situation, but it's what we train for. So the we were to quickly establish contact with him, and we did that by the victim's Facebook. So that was their primary means of communication. We used her phone, actually, and we were able to negotiate with him and speak with him for hours on end, actually. It's just kind of a, you know what your goal is, and your goal is to keep those kids safe and everyone at that scene safe. So we worked through the situation at hand and established a rapport with him by just kind of talking about him, his childhood, kind of what led us to the day and how we were going to work through it.
When children are involved in a situation like this, does that change your tactics in crisis negotiation at all?
Well, it definitely heightens the stress quite a bit, right? Because they're two innocent children that are 6 and 8, and they had an idea of what was going on. Our goal with any negotiation when there's hostages involved is to preserve life and their safety. So it was very, very tense, but we worked really hard. We brought in additional resources quickly with other departments and really just communicated and worked to resolve the situation. I guess if that makes sense.
Your voice must stay calm in a situation like this. What does that feel like inside your body?
It's a lot of note-taking. So I will, on a notepad, write calm and reference that, and your coach, which is sitting next to you, listening to everything and assisting you with mitigating the situation. If they see that something is starting to kind of bug you or your tone is changing, they'll point to that. When contact is broken, or for some reason he hangs up on you, which happened quite frequently, but then he would call back. You have those times in between the phone calls to kind of decompress, talk about what's working, what's not working. Oh. What is like a hook to be able to kind of bring him back to essentially the reality that you're speaking about and work through those tasks.
You aren't faced with hostage negotiations on a regular basis. How do your highly specialized negotiation skills, how do they come into play in your day-to-day work as an officer?
Oh, absolutely. We use them every day. They're very important. Obviously, communication in our line of work is a huge factor in how we resolve problems and issues. So hostage situations don't happen every day, probably, and hopefully once and only once do I ever have to deal with that again. But I use my negotiation skills daily and weekly with negotiating with suicidal subjects. My empathy and my active listening skills with individuals who, I mean, not everyone likes a cop, right? And not everyone wants to be taken into custody if you have to make an arrest. So using your verbal judo skills to kind of essentially, I don't want to say talk them into cuffs, but arresting them peacefully so you're not fighting with them and no one's getting hurt.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that story. I want to turn back to you, Lieutenant Lucht. In terms of challenges, I know you've experienced when responding to a fire that there may not be fire hydrants around. Is this more of a challenge as a firefighter that you face when there isn't a fire hydrant around?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a hydrant is essentially a unlimited water supply. When you don't have that, there's a lot more coordination as far as the fire scene itself, because you're trucking in water, you know, with tenders and tankers, and using the resources that you have on scene, as well as being a lot more diligent with your hose that you're putting on the fire and your water supply. And it's a huge resource burden.
You have both told stories that just don't happen each day. They're high stakes situations. They're not daily occurrences, but they do happen. I want to ask each of you, how do you take care of yourself and stay uplifted and motivated to come back to work when a day has been really stressful and heavy? Lieutenant Lucht, you first.
Well, I think there's like the self-wellness things. I'm a busybody. So whether it's some kind of crafting with leather work, or right now it's hunting season. So that's a passion of mine. I've got a family, 3 kids under 5. So they keep me occupied. But the motivation to go back is always, people would say like the guys and gals, the people back at the firehouse, the mentorship, the ability to kind of cope together is huge.
Sounds like you find family also on your team, the fellow firefighters.
Absolutely. I mean, a third of the year we spend together. So we spend Christmases, kids' birthdays, whether it's at the firehouse or on our personal level too. We're always together.
For you, Officer Powell, what helps you through the hard times?
It's absolutely remembering the moment that you've seen those children come out safely and how rewarding it was. Every day is not the same, obviously, in law enforcement, but it's rewarding in the fact that you're helping people and you're seeing a difference and you're making a change. Most times it's people's worst day that they're coming in contact with you. And I still have the children drew pictures and thank you letters, and I still have them hanging laminated on my locker. So every day that I gear up and grab my equipment, I see that. And it's kind of like the why. And the it's why we do it and why we continue to answer the call and continue with our profession. It's the reward.
Do you ever go back and think through the pieces of what happened at all, or any type of postmortem like that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like this happened years later, and I still think about like different aspects of it. Like if we would have said this, or if we would have done this, like would have we come out sooner, or would the children not have to hear, I guess, as long as what they did for as long as they did. But everything worked out peacefully. Everyone was safe. Everyone went home at the end of the day. He didn't get hurt. He ended up where he needed to be in custody, thankfully, peacefully. So,
well, thank you both for your service, Officer Powell and Lieutenant Lucht. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That is Julie Powell, officer with the Antico Police Department, and Caleb Lucht, lieutenant firefighter for Lake Country Fire and Rescue in Delafield. They are two of Wisconsin's first responders of the year.